Portions of this program are pre-recorded. This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hi, great to see you. Great to have you here. Welcome to the program, the Joe Pags Show. Pleased to have you along for the ride. A very, very busy Tuesday.
All aboard!
Carrie, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Let me ask you this, because I like the hair up, but it also, with that outfit you have on, you look kind of royal. Is this sort of a Meghan Markle,
like
Prince
that.
Harry thing you're working on
no,
here?
No, not really. No.
Are you sure? That's the week that we're in, right?
Royal, but I'll take that.
You're royal. In my life, you've been royal for about 16 years. A royal pain in my own
time. Yeah, I know. I knew where that was going.
Polo making it happen. Sam along for the ride. All good. Or as Sam would say, good. How do you say it, Sam? Good. Good. It's almost like Sandy. Oh, my God. It was like Johnny Zuko. Is it Johnny Zuko? Is that what his name was?
Danny
Zuko. Exactly right.
Yeah.
I was like his brother
Danny
Johnny.
Zuko.
I was his brother Johnny
no.
Zuko.
No.
Sandy.
That's terrible.
Yes. Where's Danny? That would be her response. Mm-hmm. That'd be a good response, wouldn't it? Man, it's a lot going on today. So yesterday, Megyn Kelly lit up the Twitters because apparently if you're white, you can't comment on somebody who's not white when they do something or say something. So, of course, we have her on today. We've got Megyn Kelly on second hour. We'll break down journalism in America today. We'll break down why she's in trouble. We'll break down. The fact is, she has been a huge fan of Oprah Winfrey for a very long time. Yet suddenly, Megyn Kelly is racist because she dared comment on Oprah's questioning or lack thereof. And also commented on Meghan Markle, who, again, apparently is black. Now, I don't know. Am I missing something here? Because Meghan Markle, I never thought to myself, wow, there's a black person. Not that that's my first notion, but what do we? She's really playing the black card, that lady? Have you seen her, Carrie?
I have, yes. I know her mom is black.
She's playing the race card all over the place.
So, yeah.
Which is fine. God bless her. Yeah, here's something that's really amazing. Are you ready for some truth?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes, please.
Now, first of all, going to the show today, Polo said, please don't do anything to get yourself Pierce Morgan'd. Yeah, he actually said that. Polo's looking out for a brother today. Polo, am I right?
Yes.
Just shaking his head.
Did you hear what happened
to
Pierce
what?
Morgan today? Then he walked out?
I did, but we're not really sure. We're not really sure, though. No, we know he's done. Now, that's something we are sure of. But Polo's question was, and it's an appropriate one, was he fired or did he quit?
That I don't know.
Yeah, see, exactly.
But he left the set live and walked out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something I've done with you all the time, a lot of times.
I wanted to do that many times.
Oh, stop it. So, we're going to get into all that. But Meghan Markle, let's just go through who this person. I don't know who she was before. And Megyn Kelly actually makes fun of me in the interview over the year. Okay, you didn't know who that was? I said, some wannabe reality star or some crap.
She's
I didn't know where
actress.
She came from. Yeah. Is she an actress? Has she been in stuff? I don't know.
Suits? I've never seen the show, but she was in Suits.
Suits? Like lawsuits?
I think it was just called Suits, I think.
Card suits? I mean, what kind of suits?
I don't know.
Polo, you're the pop culture guy. I mean, so what's the deal? Who is this person? How would I know? How would I have seen her in anything other than the Suits
you
program?
Probably would have seen her on that game show with Howie Mandel.
Was she carrying one of the cases?
Yes.
Are you serious? She was like one of the models holding the cases?
That's where I think she started, and then she was obviously trying to be an actress, and she was on that USA show called Suits, I'm assuming. I never saw the show, but I'm assuming it was like lawyers, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah. Sam, did you know Meghan Markle before all this?
Definitely not.
Yeah, no clue. I mean, anybody's got a brain. Oh, sorry, Carrie Polo. Didn't really know a whole lot about what did I say?
We knew about her. You did.
So the people who know something don't have a brain.
Exactly right. Now you figured
Makes
it out.
Sense.
After
Makes
all
sense.
These years of us working together, you finally figured out my whole thought process.
Because you know
or
a
lack
lot of
thereof,
stuff.
Depending on whether I have a brain or not.
Yeah.
I do. I know a lot of stuff. So I have no brains. So at the end of the day, this person, again, I want to make sure I have the story right. Carrie, correct me if I get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Described by Polo as one of the case ladies on Deal or No Deal, which I'm not denigrating them. They had a job and they did fine. I didn't recognize her from that. I don't think I could pick any of them out of a lineup, to be honest with you, unless they're holding a case and wearing a skirt. I don't know. She goes from that to become an actress. From actress, she meets, is courted by, then marries an actual prince. Becomes the Duchess of something, where she's now in the family. And as Megyn Kelly will outline later, and then has a royal child. This person is dealing with victimhood and racism. Do I have it right?
That's what she says.
Okay, I mean, I'm not just what she says. No. I don't mean, do I have it right that she's dealing with racism? Mm-hmm. That was the last part that I threw in there. Every fact that I said about her, that's correct, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If I were to say that is the definition of a life of privilege, would I be right?
Yes.
She married the prince.
An actress marrying a prince? I mean, a real-life prince? Yes.
She's in the royal family. She's not homeless in San Francisco. You know what I'm saying? Mm. She's not living in a tent under a bridge somewhere. No. She's doing pretty well. I would say she's doing okay. Now, let's be honest. She married the ugly prince. I mean, if we could just be, let's be real.
No, that's not nice. Carrie. That's not Carrie. Nice. He's
Carrie.
Fine looking.
Can you ever just be honest?
I am being honest. He's not ugly.
Come on, she got Harry. She didn't get the other guy. Come
not
on.
Not ugly.
Polo, anything on that?
Isn't he the one that looks like Carson Wentz, quarterback?
I don't know who that. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yes. Well, they have the same hair color. I don't know if they look alike, but
okay. They
have the same hair color. And again, there's nothing wrong with red hair. I just don't think Harry's a really attractive guy. But then again, I'm not in the market for a prince.
I mean, maybe she preferred the one with.
With hair?
Yes.
Because the other one, he had great hair, and then it just all left. It was like, we're out of here.
Yeah, he has no hair.
Sam,
anymore.
Anything on Prince Harry?
He definitely has red hair.
Okay, well, I'm asking, attractive or not? I mean,
specifically speaking against his brother, he's definitely the better-looking brother.
You think Harry's better-looking than the brother?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay, look up the brother when he had hair. You're such a hairophobe. What a hairophobe. Come on, Carrie. I mean, what's the other guy's name? William? He's better-looking, isn't he?
That's
more like Mom, and Mom was an attractive person.
She was beautiful, yeah. I think they're both.
I don't know why Harry looks like that. Right. I mean, he doesn't take after Dad. What's up with that? Can we question that?
I don't know. Some people have.
The court jester had red hair. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't know.
They both look fine. Look at that picture.
Come on. Sam, did you find William with hair? Are you going to retract your stupid statement?
This must have been the better-looking guy. Like 5 years old. So
I don't know. Look at them if they were five. Whatever. You guys are on something. I'm going to need a crack test on the entire staff today. So at the end of the day, she ends up marrying a prince, is royalty, has the royal child, and then because she was treated so badly, she wanted to disconnect from the royal family, and because of their disconnection from the royal family, Harry no longer has any royal duties, responsibilities. So therefore, whatever stipend he would get has been cut off by Dad, Prince Charles. I mean, Carrie, that sounds reasonable, right?
Yes. If you're
doing work around the house, you're doing work for the family. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, like Sam works for Joe Pags Media. If she decided to no longer work for Joe Pags Media, why would I keep paying her? That'd be kind of dumb.
It would, yeah.
No, Sam, that is not a thing. You have to work for me forever.
Okay.
Okay, good. So as long as we're clear on that. But at the end of the day, we have a situation where somebody is so privileged that she's blinded by her privilege and doesn't realize how privileged she is. Because, again, I talked to Megyn Kelly about this later, but they're sitting in some posh villa with a billionaire. They're both millionaires. Somebody made $7 or $9 million for the interview. And they're crying poor mouth and victimhood. So Megyn Kelly decides to call them out, and she's somehow racist. Do I have it right?
Yes.
That interview in about an hour and a half. Make sure you stick around. Bottom of hour number two. I also want to talk about the looniness of Disney, because maybe I missed something. And Kara, there's a chance I missed something. And I was tweeting back and forth with Gina Carano before we started today because I wanted to get her comment on this stupid statement. Is this guy the CEO? Who is this guy?
He's
some big deal.
I think he is the CEO.
You lost it a long time ago. Can we be honest? But the fact that he's the CEO, he's the boss. And he's asked a very direct question about the... We just saw Brad's tweet. Damn it.
Oh, he must have said something nice about me.
Miss Carrie always looks royal. Shut up, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate that.
Come on, man.
Brad's always in the corner. Yeah.
Right, he is. He is good for Brad. So, for me, the CEO of the company just boldly lying to the shareholders and boldly lying to the media, I guess I shouldn't be surprised in 2021. But here was a situation where he was asked to compare the Gina Carano situation to the other guy. I don't know the guy's name. Pedro somebody. I don't know his last name. What's his last name? Do we know? I think he was on Narcos, and I love that show. I can't think of his last
name. Pedro Pascal?
There you go. I guess he has made comparisons to Nazism before on Twitter and on social media, and nothing happened to him. He's fine. Gina Carano does it, and what she said was actually true, and she's gone. She's out of a job, and the CEO responds to that, and he's clearly just lying. He's just a liar. But the fear, and I talked to Gina right before we started the show, the fear she has, and I have, and other people have, is that people will hear him say this and simply believe it because he said it. And I'm here to dispel that right now. So, Kara, if you don't mind, give me that story before we hit the break. I want people to understand how backward life is right now.
From Deadline, Disney CEO Bob Chapek Tuesday said he doesn't really see Disney as characterizing itself as left-leaning or right-leaning, responding to a shareholder who accused Hollywood and the company of a double standard in firing Gina Carano from The Mandalorian because she's a conservative. The stockholder speaking during the Q&A portion of Disney's annual shareholder meeting noted that co-stars Pedro Pascal and Gina Carano both controversially referenced Nazi Germany in social media comments, but only she was removed. What about the Disney blacklist, he asked. Chapek did not speak to the Carano incident directly, but said Disney stands for values that are universal, respect, decency, integrity, and inclusion, and we seek to have the content that we make reflective of the rich diversity of the world we live in. And I think that's a world we should all live in harmony and peace.
Could you go back to the part where you talked about Pedro Pascal and Gina Carano basically making the same references? One got fired, one didn't. I didn't hear that part. You could just go back to that part.
Because there is no part to that.
Maybe first or second paragraph? Because you went kind of fast with your royal outfit on today.
Yeah, no, he didn't speak to that.
Yeah, if you're going to dress like this and have the hair up, I'm thinking about getting you a crown.
Oh, now that I could go for. Yeah.
And I can call you...
I'd rock that crown.
The Queen of News. We could do that, right?
All right. Why not? I'm in.
That might work.
I'd do it.
Make that happen. All right, so I want your thoughts on the double standard. Now, when we come back, Carrie's also got some stories about new Disney movies and TV shows that are going to either come with a warning or they're only going to be for adults now on Disney+. Disney has completely jumped the shark. Disney is done. And Disney doesn't think they can be done. They think they're too big to be done. No, they're done. They're making it clear that they're not really for truth. They're not really for diversity, as they say. They're not really for even-handedness when it comes to employees. And they're certainly, not for letting children see historically incredible movies that were made by the founder and originator, Walt Disney himself. It's crazy to me. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pag Show.
I appreciate you stopping by. Thanks a lot. It's the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Your thoughts about Disney doing this again. The Disney CEO just lying that ass off. Just lying, man. This guy making it up. lying that everybody gets treated fairly. We just believe in inclusion and blah, 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 diversity. No, they clearly don't. They did not include Gina Carano and her thoughts. They did not include a diverse thought process. They only allowed somebody who they deemed to be politically on the same side as them to stay and moved her out. That's what happened. And now you've got Disney, and Carrie will have this for you in a moment. Wait till you hear the new titles that kids can't see. We'll have that for you. And keep in mind, Carrie, this isn't a day and age where we've got strippers showing up to go read to kids in the morning at kindergarten. You've got a story about teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We've got a story today about kindergartners learning sex ed,
yes.
But they can't watch freaking Dumbo. I want to make sure that I'm clear on this.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, we'll get into that in a second. Make sure you stay right here. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Got to remind you about Omaha Steaks. I love Omaha Steaks. Love it every single time. Yummy. Yummy. When the cooler comes, because they flash freeze these incredible meats. When it comes to the front door, I'm happy. I'm clicking my heels, ready for some good meat tonight for dinner. I want you to go and check them out as well. They've been doing this for over 100 years, family-owned and operated. Omaha Steaks. I'm talking about their incredible Butcher's Best Sellers grill pack, including four iconic and fork-tender Butcher's Cut filet mignons, four ultra-juicy burgers. We've got four savory pork chops, desserts, a lot more in there, too. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my name, PAGS, P-A-G-S, in the search bar for a special price in this Butcher's Best Sellers package. Plus, you can get four more chicken breasts and four more of those delicious burgers free. Omaha Steaks, has been a leader in gourmet meals and steaks, all sorts of food since 1917. Why not get on board right now and get your family some awesome stuff? You're not leaving the house much because of what's going on around town, right? Why not get some incredible food delivered? OmahaSteaks.com, keyword PAGS, put that in the search bar. Get four more chicken breasts, four more of those delicious burgers free on top of your order. 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. Carrie, if you don't mind, what's happening with Disney now? What are these titles that people should be afraid of?
From WPDE, Disney Plus has removed several movies from children's profiles on its service due to negative stereotypes. The Walt Disney Company previously showed content warnings on the films for negative depictions and or mistreatment of people and cultures in October, but has now removed access to the films for children under 7. Adults can still view the movies on their Disney Plus accounts with the content warnings. The movies Dumbo, The Crows, and musical number pay homage to racist minstrel shows where white performers with blackened faces and tattered clothing imitated and ridiculed enslaved Africans on southern plantations. The leader of the group in Dumbo is Jim Crow, which shares the name of laws that enforced racial segregation in the southern United States. Next is Peter Pan. The film portrays Native people in a stereotypical manner that reflects neither the diversity of Native peoples nor their authentic cultural traditions. It shows them speaking in an unintelligible language and repeatedly refers to them as redskins, an offensive term. Peter and the Lost Boys engage in dancing, wearing headdresses and other exaggerated tropes. Swiss Family Robinson. The pirates who antagonize the Robinson family are portrayed as a stereotypical foreign menace. Many appear in yellow face or brown face and are costumed in an exaggerated and inaccurate manner with top-knot hairstyles, queues, robes, and overdone facial makeup and jewelry, reinforcing their barbarism and otherness. And the Aristocats. The Siamese cat is depicted as a racist caricature of East Asian people with exaggerated stereotypical traits such as slanted eyes and buck teeth. He sings in poorly accented English voices by a white actor and plays the piano with chopsticks.
Okay, the one thing that I want to jump out at, and first of all, Disney was built by Walt Disney and his family on making cartoons that entertained Americans. To go back as the same company and undo what he put in place because you want to be all woke doesn't make any sense. So a couple of things here. Number one, the Disney CEO lying about being even-handed, fair, and diverse, never once actually making reference to Gina Carano or to Pedro Pascal, both of whom made Nazi references. Hers was factually correct, by the way. And then ignoring that and pretending that we're some diverse, loving, accepting company after firing her on her ass for no reason. And now you're going to undo everything that the founder of the company, Walt Disney, did throughout the years. Because somebody somewhere finds it to be racist. That literally makes no sense. You're taking the company that was formed and founded so you can make millions of dollars a year as the CEO or the shareholders. And you're saying we hate the company because it's somehow racist. We've just decided it's racist. Dumbo's racist. Peter Pan is racist. Cats are racist now. It's all very, very stupid. Your thoughts. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hi, great to have you. Glad you're watching on the stream, you're listening on the radio, you're downloading the podcast. Millions and millions check out the program, and I'm humbled by it. Thank you much for that. So are we at the point now, Carrie, correct me if I'm wrong, it does appear as though we're at the point now to where drag queens, let me ask you this, can we say drag queens anymore or not?
Well, I don't know, maybe not. Not sure what the correct...
They call themselves drag queens. So if they say it, we can say it, right? Like you couldn't say queer for a really long time.
Right.
But now some people are calling themselves queer.
Right.
So you can say queer again.
LGBTQ now. Yeah.
No, no. It's one of the Qs.
There's another one?
Yes, it's LG. I'm not making this up. It's LGBTQQ.
What would the other Q stand for?
One is queer, one is questioning. I kid you not, that's a real thing.
Okay.
This is why I say LGBTQ, XYZ, 123, because I don't know what we're just going to be, whatever, put whatever you want in there. Because people, literally, there's an X in there somewhere, there's an I in there somewhere, there's a P in there somewhere. There's all this stuff, so... Am I making it up when I say people who self-identify as drag queens go and read to five-year-old kids for story time at public schools?
Yes.
So that's okay. That's perfectly fine. But Peter Pan should be somehow excommunicated from society.
Yes.
And Dumbo.
And Swiss Family Robinson.
Right. Because of the depiction of people. I mean, many of these, I could be wrong, but many of these are not even live action. They're animated, right?
I believe they all are, I think.
Right. So we're looking at animated films that made Disney the millions it has today and made people rich as can be. Are they giving all their riches away saying, look, this was ill-gotten?
I'm going to say no. Don't think so.
So you're saying they all got rich on racism and misogyny, and I guess one of them is even complaining about how they depicted pirates from Europe. Yeah. Wow, Europeans got one in there. I don't know. That was weird. And a cat has slanted eyes and bigger teeth, so it's a stereotype for Asians for the Siamese cat. That's also, it's a racist animated cat. But the thing that really gets my attention, and I'd love to have your thoughts on this, a white actor can't do an accent or portray somebody who's not white.
Mm-hmm.
That's the newest thing.
It is, yes. Or people who have done it, actors have come out and apologized for doing that.
Yeah.
Say, I should not have done it.
They give the money back?
Again, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, they didn't give the money back then?
I don't think so.
All right. Mel Blanc was one of the most famous voices for, I think, Warner Brothers. I don't think for Disney. I'm willing to be wrong about that, but I think Warner Brothers. He was the voice of Bugs Bunny. Also was the voice of Speedy Gonzales. Ruh-roh. Mel Blanc. Mel Blanc was short for something else, but I've seen him. He's gone now, but even in his older, in his 80s, he was like on Letterman and stuff, doing the voices. Speedy Gonzales was one of the top trends the other day on Twitter. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I mean, people, and I'm not even kidding. Those of Mexican heritage on Twitter had a fit. You know why? Because they were like, you're not canceling Speedy Gonzales. We love him. Okay. They're like, we love Speedy Gonzales. What is wrong with you? I mean, come on. But that's really, they were trying to cancel Speedy Gonzales.
I believe it, yeah.
I'm trying to find. I'm trying to find a quick video of his voice. I think it was Mel Blanc. It was If it was, it was somebody else trying to have a Mexican accent. For some reason, I guess Pat Boone did a song called Speedy Gonzales.
Okay. I did not know that.
So you're going to be in even bigger trouble then, wouldn't you? And in the song, I guess Mel Blanc is putting the voice of Speedy Gonzales on. Polo, stay close to the dump. I don't know what this is going to do, to be honest with you. Let's see if I can find some Speedy Gonzales. Oh, here it appears to be here.
Vamoose! Scram! Take your band and beat it! And don't come back! Hey, Senor Daffy! Now what do you want?
He says, hey, Senor Daffy! That's it, he's in trouble. White guy trying to sound Mexican.
And clearly they should go after his heirs then. Go after their money.
Since without a doubt, they should get all that money back. It's ridiculous. How dare you? Who do you think you are? Yes, Polo.
I was going to say, if they're going to get rid of anybody, maybe his cousin, Slowpoke
Rodriguez. Who was his cousin?
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Yeah, but Slowpoke Rodriguez carried a gun. He was okay. Remember, he was the guy that pulled out the gun. And Speedy actually told somebody, I think it might have been Daffy Duck, oh, I forgot to tell you, he carries a gun. So he's already out because he was a gun-toting guy. He's a Second Amendment guy. I think we've got some more Speedy. Hold on.
Hold it, Daffy. How about 5 pesos? Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Hold it, Daffy. How about 5 pesos? That's it. You're fired. You're a big, fat racist.
Yep.
What a canceled racist mouse this is. Polo, you're of Hispanic heritage. Does the Speedy Gonzales bother you?
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if anything was going to bother me, it would have been maybe his cousin. Because they
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Yeah, because they're, you know, the way he's portrayed, but I mean... But again, it's a rat.
Well, but one would imagine there are slower Italians, slower Hispanics, slower white people. Calling somebody Slowpoke is not necessarily a hit on somebody named Rodriguez because Speedy was fast as could be.
Right.
So, I mean, I thought Speedy Gonzales was like a hero. So I'm going through Twitter looking it up, and people are like, I'm Mexican. And they're saying the nastiest words I've ever seen on Twitter about if you dare try to cancel Speedy Gonzales, you're done. And I noticed that the cancellation of Speedy Gonzales sort of went away in the past couple of days. That's interesting to me. But you can cancel anything else.
Yeah, but...
Before you're saying, no problem for Speedy, but you got a problem with Slowpoke.
Maybe, because, I mean, Speedy always seemed to be put in a pretty good light, but his cousin was...
Well, he always got the better of somebody. He got the better of Daffy.
But the cousin, not so much, because they made him, like, slow and fat-looking and you know, lazy and all that kind of stuff. So people, of course, are saying, like, oh, are they trying to say that all, you know, Mexicans are slow and fat and lazy?
Well, clearly not, because Speedy Gonzales was in the same cartoon.
Right.
It was sort of a yin and yang, no?
I mean, it you would think, but of course, anybody can always make anything offensive.
Can I be honest? It makes my head hurt. They were extremely even-handed on the superpower, super speed, so to speak, of Speedy Gonzales. At the same time, they're saying, then we got slow, you know, cousin Slowpoke over here, which is fine. Everybody's got a Slowpoke in the family, no? Like Carrie is the Slowpoke in her family.
No, that would not be
you're
the case.
No?
I'm saying no.
Mm-mm. I mean, that's right. You did star in the Husker Championships in the mid-1990s.
That's right. You cannot can't be slow when doing that.
I was not the fastest guy. Maybe I was the Slowpoke in the family. And you know what? I don't think it's a racial term. It just, I get it. Now, if they only did, all Mexicans are slow and fat and sluggish. Now I understand the argument. But the star of the show was Speedy Gonzales, who always ended up on top. I don't think, did the duck ever get the best of him? I don't think so.
I think he was much like Bugs, where Daffy always got the short end of it.
I mean, I think ducks have a real argument here. I think ducks have a real, Carrie, I think ducks have a real argument here.
Well, I probably do.
To be fair, too, he was a black duck, so.
Well. Racist! Yep. It's a good point. Donald was fine. Guess what? Donald not black. I'm telling you, it's all this symbolism. Every dime Disney has collected should be handed back over. I'm so sorry. Here's my blood money. Here's my racist money. So stupid. This thing is so stupid! The whole thing's just stupid. Let me go to Jennifer, Oregon. Jennifer, talk to me. Hi.
Hear me okay?
Is this the Jennifer?
Yes, it's the Jennifer.
Talk to me.
Dude, I saw that thing about Disney this morning, and I'm not even going to lie. I was so upset. That's why I sent you the email. I mean, I'm somebody who, like I told you in the chat, I got 9 different Disney characters tattooed all over me. I'm a huge Disney freak. I always have been. Who the heck is Disney to decide if the, you know, 5, 6, or 7-year-olds can watch Peter Pan or Dumbo or whatever? Shouldn't that be up to the parents to explain to their children a difference? But the children probably aren't even going to ask a difference anyways. I don't ever remember sitting there watching Peter Pan or anything like that and being like, oh, Mom, Dad, that was racist.
How does it feel, Jennifer? How does it feel?
It doesn't occur to you as a child.
Right.
Right?
How does it feel to have all these racist tattoos on your body now?
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh, Joe. You don't even know. It's just... You know, Disney, if anything, I think all those movies over the years have, if anything, they taught empathy. Disney shows many death scenes, okay? And I actually think you should be more worried about if you have a 5 or 6-year-old, say, watching Lion King or Bambi, and they show no empathy to the dad or the mom dying. You might want to be a little bit more worried about that than it being racist.
I'm with you. I hear you. I appreciate you, Jennifer, as always. Jennifer's a big player over in the chat room. Carrie, she's getting it done.
Very good. Very nice.
Think about this. We might Jen Psaki this later.
Circle back.
You know what I mean by that, right?
Circle back.
What? Yeah. Actually, in an interview with Andy Biggs today, a representative from Arizona, I called her Circle Back Psaki. It was actually pretty good. I should probably do it. That's the next PAX parody, Circle
go.
Back Psaki.
Yeah, that's a nice ring to it.
Let me ask you something as a journalist, or if you know a journalist. Do you know a good journalist?
I know a few.
Oh, you're a good journalist. The Star Tribune out of Minneapolis today.
Mm-hmm.
Here's their headline on Twitter. Derek Chauvin's trial in killing of George Floyd begins in Minneapolis. Is that journalistically correct?
I would say no. It's not what I would write.
Yeah. That's problematic. I mean, that's like lawsuit stuff.
Yeah.
Derek Chauvin's trial in the killing of George Floyd begins in Minneapolis. Now, here's something that I know. The toxicology report shows that there's a good chance George Floyd died from something other than Chauvin's knee in his neck. Chauvin should not have had his knee in his neck. I hear you. Without a doubt, the trial's going to happen. We'll see what the result is. But if you want to say the murder trial of Derek Chauvin begins, that's correct. That is journalistically correct. There's a murder trial going on, and he's the guy standing trial. But if you want to say the trial in the killing of George Floyd, you just made the decision that George Floyd was killed. And you don't legally know that. You don't legally know that. Now, if you want to respond, yeah, well, he might have been killed by the fentanyl. No, that's not what you're saying in this headline. You are actually asserting that Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd, or at the very least, George Floyd was killed. You don't know that. And you can't claim to be a journalist and say something so inflammatory. I don't understand, and I hope you're listening in Minneapolis, and I hope that you fix this, Star Tribune, because you should be better than that. That's not okay. You don't get to sway the potential jury pool by writing a headline on social media that is false. He's not standing the trial for the killing of George Floyd. That makes a lot of assumptions and a lot of assertions. You can say the murder trial of, the third-degree murder, or the second-degree murder trial of, or the manslaughter trial of. You can say that because it's true. You can't say the trial in the killing of George Floyd because you are now making a legal term as if you're saying he killed him. Let's just see what happens in the trial. That's a problem. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We're coming right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. Thanks for stopping by the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. We were just talking about it. Cancel culture. Now they want to ban Dr. Seuss books. You know what Disney's doing, right? Even Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn from our schools. It's crazy. They want monuments of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson torn down. If you're fed up with cancel culture, you need to watch Greg Kelly Reports on Newsmax TV. Each night this week, Greg Kelly shreds their lies and their hypocrisy. And Greg Kelly believes in America. He's exposing radical cancel culture every night. You're going to be shocked by what you see. So tune into Newsmax TV. See Greg Kelly at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Everybody's talking about Newsmax TV, America's fastest growing cable news channel. It's on all major cable systems and free on smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Vizio, and platforms like Roku, YouTube, Zumo, and Pluto. Or download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. Watch it now. I check out Newsmax.com online for breaking news every single day. I want you to do so as well. There's a lot going on at all times, and Newsmax TV is going to give you the straight skinny. They've got great news programs all day. They've got great opinion programs at night. They really get it done right. You check them out online or go and download the app. You go to your app store on iOS or just go to the Google Play Store and download Newsmax TV right now. You should check it out. I'm going to be on there on Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. I love appearing on there, and I love you guys checking it out as well. Newsmax TV, it's real news for real people. You go to the phone lines. Cancel culture is upon us. Somebody said this was kind of interesting, Carrie. Somebody said this in the chat channel. Does Disney owe everybody reparations now? Yeah, I think you should give all the money back.
You know, it's not
if you're
happen,
admitting
but...
that you're no good and you're racist and you're ethnocentric and you're horribly disgusting and you're just attacking everybody's ethnicity, ancestry, background, heritage, give all the money back. They should all sell their mansions. They should all sell their big Rolls Royces and everything else, and they should feel really, really guilty over their bank accounts. And they got to give it up. Give that up, man.
No, won't happen.
You think that's going to happen, Carrie?
No.
Is that going to happen?
Mm-mm. Nope.
You're saying no, then?
I'm saying no.
Ruben, California, talk to me. Hi.
Hey, you got a couple points on your on the Disney stuff.
Come on.
First of all, I think that's a lot of steps towards state-run TV.
Uh-huh.
And second of all, I haven't seen him going after the Wayans brothers for In Living Color yet. So
that's never going to happen. They're not going to go after anybody for white girls either. They're not going to do that. It's only white people that are evil. You have to learn that.
Oh yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Because I love Handyman from In Living Color. I hope they don't take him off, but I think it's hilarious.
Have you watched In Living Color recently? Right? Have you watched that recently?
Oh yes, I love it.
That show could never ever have been made today. Ever.
No. Oh, absolutely not. And we show our children, my wife and I, and we just laugh and laugh and laugh. And then we ask the question, do you think you'd see that on TV anymore?
Never.
But it's just funny, the double standard, right?
No, well, it is. I mean, funny, not funny. Absolutely, Ruben. I appreciate you. Let me go back at it. I've only got a quick minute for you. Let's make it happen on line one. Brian, Texas, talk to me.
Hey, Joe, I was listening to you during the break, and you talked about a manipulation of language. And
yes.
I think that's right on target, and let me explain why. They're mixing all this racism and ridiculousness as sort of a deflection for something that's profoundly racist, and that is that black children in our school system are being told they don't have to get the right answer in math because that's racist. They don't have to show their work in math because that's racist. What's next? You're not allowed to read? That's Civil War Day, Adolf Hitler stuff. And in the meantime, we're talking about ducks.
We are reestablishing segregation in our society. It's on purpose. It's to divide and conquer. It's to tell black people not to talk to white people and don't trust them. Tell white people not to talk to Hispanics. Don't talk to them or trust them. Telling Native Americans, all your land was stolen. Don't talk to the white man. Don't talk to the black man. And it's also telling Asian Americans that you shouldn't talk to anybody at Harvard or Yale. In fact, there are too many of you here, and don't talk to anybody about it. Divide and conquer is a way to keep power. Divide and conquer is a way to supersede freedom and liberty. If we talk to each other, we generally speaking have a good conversation. They have to stop us from talking to each other. Quick break here. Stay on the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Big interview at the bottom of the hour. She started trouble yesterday on the Twitters. And today, got Piers Morgan fired. Right, Kelly? Or Kelly? Carrie? I'm talking about Megyn Kelly.
Really? Kelly?
That's a new one. Project Kelly.
That's a new
one. Her name is Megyn Kelly. Come on. She got Piers Morgan fired, right?
No.
Oh, it wasn't her?
No.
I may or may not accuse her of that in the interview.
No, I'm sure you do.
And I don't call her Carrie during the interview.
That's
would you
a good
now?
Thing.
Let me ask you this: would it be not an insult, a compliment for you if I called her Carrie by accident?
No, I would not. That would not bother me.
No, no, it'd be a compliment, right? I mean, it'd be like, you know, haha, I'm on his brain, and he said my name instead of hers.
Mm-hmm. And I like Megyn Kelly, so I'll take Kelly. Been called worse.
All right. No.
Linda.
She Carol. Got him fired. Got him fired today. That's what happened. She actually didn't have anything to do with it, but somehow she'll be blamed for it. Now, let me ask you this. Do you go, and we haven't played the song yet, but we will. Do you go through life thinking to yourself, you know that Megyn Kelly's pretty racist?
No, I don't.
You know why? You know why you don't think that?
Because of my white privilege.
Because you white. Because you white. Exactly right.
Is white. Yes.
Now, people are taking the blackface thing on NBC, which, of course, had nothing to do with actual blackface and minstrel shows. And the fact that she commented on that. And now that she's giving her take on Oprah Winfrey and Meghan Markle, who, again, apparently is black. Now she's a racist because of that. And Twitter wants you to believe that anytime Megyn Kelly comments on something, it's about race or it's against a black person, which of course is stupid. She did a show for how many years on Fox where she talked about all sorts of people. And I thought she was in trouble with the Trump crowd because she went after Trump once. Is he suddenly black?
No, he is not. He's very much
white. Hold that thought on a Tuesday. Yeah, I mean, it's stupid. If you just use your brain and common sense, you know how stupid it is.
Well, that's the problem. Not very many people are using their brains nowadays.
I don't know many people have brains anymore.
Mm.
They've been sucked out by the leftist media. That really loud sucking sound is people sucking brains out of people who normally would be rational and reasonable. So Megyn Kelly coming up in about 15 minutes. No, 25 minutes. About 25 minutes from now. Talk about why she was in trouble with the Twitters yesterday. We talk about how dumb it is that you can't comment on something Oprah says or Meghan Markle says because of race somehow. I think the one thing that we all forget is that we have nothing, we absolutely had nothing to do with who decided to get together to make us back in the day. It's a fair statement, right, Carrie? I mean, we had literally nothing to do with it.
This is true.
So why do we have to deal with it our entire lives? You know what I mean? Like, I'll go on Twitter and I'll say something, and invariably some idiot that disagrees with me will say something like, says the white man, or thanks, boomer, or says the old privilege this and that. And first of all, again, beautifully olive. Secondly, not old at all. I'm not a baby boomer. I'm a Gen X, but I couldn't hear you. You sound like you were groaning. You're right.
I did not say anything.
You didn't, but you definitely groaned. I mean, so when I say I'm not old and I'm young and I'm olive, well, I gotta get attitude.
Yeah, the olive skin, and you're a little bit.
Let's
old.
Go back to the start of the show. Let's go back to the start of the show where I was like, "Hey, I like your hair like that. Look at that outfit. You look like a queen." Now I'm just the old jerk. That's. I want people to understand what the relationship is here. How about that lady in Alpena? Guess who hasn't called back since that call that day? Because she's listened for a few days. She gets it now.
She doesn't. I'm really not that mean.
But she wrote me a long email. I am so sorry for what you have to deal with.
Oh, I did. You show me that email. Send it to me. Yeah, for.
I don't have it. It's in the. It's in the Radio Hall of Fame. We sent it right over there.
So
at the end of the day, I have a great interview with Megyn Kelly at the bottom where we talk about journalism, the state of journalism. We actually talk about her leanings, you know, whether they're right or left or whatever. But we talk about whether or not we can, in this day and age, have a free-flowing sharing of information without Jack Dorsey or Mark Zuckerberg or somebody in Congress telling us that we can't, or the people on those platforms, or publishers, really, telling us what we can and can't say. It's a really cool conversation. Make sure you stick around for that. But I want to get into this education thing, because when somebody makes a suggestion like this, I don't want it to be contemplated and then rejected. I want the person summarily fired immediately. And when you hear the story, you'll understand where I'm coming from. I'm guessing this person still has a job, right?
Well, this is a state senator.
Oh, well, there you go. This person should be fired immediately when the suggestion was made. Go ahead.
From the New York Post, get ready for the latest woke wave in education. Comprehensive sex ed for kids as young as five, thanks to a new bill in the state Senate. Legislation sponsored by State Senator Samra G. Brook, a freshman Democrat from Rochester, would tie New York's health curriculum to standards written by a left-wing interest group that advocates sex ed for social change and would make those lessons mandatory statewide. Under that group's current standards, public and charter schools would have to teach five-year-olds about gender identity and instruct eight-year-olds on hormone blockers to prevent puberty and transgender identifying preteens. Kids as young as 11 would get lectures on vaginal, oral, and anal sex, study queer, two-spirit, asexual, pansexual, and other gender identities, and receive explicit instruction on the use of external and internal condoms, dental dams, and other contraceptives. Brooke told the Post, I'm greatly concerned about the unacceptably high incidence of relationship violence, sexual harassment and assault, and online bullying in our society today. We must equip the next generation with the skills and education they will need to thrive. But her proposal would legally link New York schools to the shifting recommendations of the Sexuality Information and Educational Council of the United States. We would be outsourcing our curriculum to this outside organization, said Assemblyman Michael Riley, a member of the Education Committee. That is a concern. Some parents are also worried. The state constitution guarantees a basic education, but nowhere does it say we have to prepare our kids to change their sex if they want to, said Sam Perizzolo of the New York City Parents Union. We have schools where 95% of kids can't read or do math at grade level, and now they want to bring in these complicated social justice issues. That's BS.
I mean, can I admit something?
Spirit, I've never heard of some of those, but
I told you there was an A. I told you there was a P. I told you there was an I. Now, is it two, the number two, or is it TWO?
How do they spell it? TWO.
Spirit. There's a T in there. There's a double T. There's an LGBTT.
And P, I guess, is pansexual.
So, yes.
Okay.
A would be asexual. Can I admit something? As a 54-year-old man, I've never in my life before heard of an internal condom. I don't know what that is. Don't know how you would do that. I don't understand. Let's go down the list. Carrie, you know about that? The internal condom?
No.
Polo? Internal condoms, anybody? How you doing over there? What's the matter?
Yes.
Oh, you do know about them?
Yes.
Care to explain, or is that not going to work?
I mean, I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Not really.
I mean, it's not.
It's
for the female.
But what if it's not a female? You don't know.
Well, it's.
The fact that you just said female, I need you to apologize. You just offended half the audience.
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I was trying to avoid saying that.
Sam, anything on this? You good?
I have heard of this, but.
Good news. It's good to know. I
didn't learn about it in school, though.
Yeah, no, and probably not when you were 8 or 11, which is, yeah. So let's break this down, people, my good friends, those I love, girl. We want to teach people as young as five about sexual orientation, gender, the fact that you can change your gender, fluidity, hormone blockers by the time you're 8. 11 years old, let's talk about having all sorts of sex. Now, Carrie, you might find this strange because of how suave I am.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Go ahead.
Because I got all this going on. I understand it's going to sound strange.
Mm-hmm.
I did not care about a girl until I was probably a good 14 years old. It just did not matter to me, man.
Yeah. Eight. I'm learning, five.
You know, I'm learning how to play an instrument. Easy. I'm learning how to... I'm learning about music. I'm listening to records.
You're playing sports, and you're out with your friends. And
in love with cars and throwing rocks at trees. I'm just picking my nose. I did not care about girls till probably I was about 14 when I went to high school. I went, oh, what's going on over here?
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you're like, okay, now things are starting to kick in, and now I know what my attractions are and whatever. I mean, why would we ever force these children to grow up? And listen, let's just be honest. This is abuse of these children. Why would we ever talk to them about this? And maybe the best question is, and we love being on Rochester, 1180 AM, WHAM. We love being on WHAM. Let me tell you something, Rochester. This person's representing you. You need to get her ass out. She's got to go because that doesn't make any sense. There's something wrong with her. This is This is somebody who I believe is has got a screw loose to want to talk to an 8-year-old about sexuality and sexual things to do and condoms and actions and I'm sorry, I think you said the word anal in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Why are we talking to an 8-year-old about that?
You're asking the wrong person. I do not
and
know.
I don't think I'm a late bloomer. I think at 14, 15 years old, you start to understand, okay, it's time to there's something going on with that person over there. You know, I don't think anybody at 8 years old walk around going, damn, I'm going to get with that. I don't think that's happening.
No. Yes, I agree.
So I need to understand from the parents out there, from the parentage, are you okay with your kid going to school at 5, 6, 8, 11 years old, learning about all these things, hearing about all these new abbreviations for different sexualities, about you could change your gender if you want, maybe by 8 you start taking some hormone blockers? Is that what you send representatives to your state capital or the U.S. Capitol to do? Is that okay with you? And again, we are forced through our property taxes to pay for these schools and act as if we have nothing to say afterwards. Here's our money. Now teach our kids, let's have strippers come and read story time to them, and let's teach them about blocking those hormones by 8. Come on, man. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
I appreciate you taking the time. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Lots going on, lots to get to. Megyn Kelly, her own self, at the bottom of this hour. We're going to talk about the dust-up yesterday on Twitter about the Royals and how horribly victimized they are. We talk about that. We talk about the rights that we have, either we do or don't have, to opine and reflect and comment on things. We talk about the rules and regulations that social media and other parts of our community and society are trying to put us through. Oh, you can't say that, you can't do that, you can't look that way. If you do, you're racist. Talk about all that and then some. And yes, Carrie, I do then talk about me.
I'm shocked, really. You talk about all your AP awards that you've won.
Why do you say it like that? I did not. I did not. But I do, at one point in the interview, do you think I do or don't say, let's talk about me for a minute because it really is about me.
Yes, I'm going to say you 100%.
You're going to say that I did say that at some point.
Yes. Yes, okay. Like you. So yes.
Wow. Thanks for the support.
That's the truth.
888-941-PAGS. Teaching kids in school, elementary school, about sex, about orifices, about what you do, what sex acts there are, what sex you can be, what gender you can be, how to change your gender, when you should start taking hormone blockers. Is that really something that needs to be taught? To tell you this, I went through a public school system, and I grew up just fine, and I'm a pretty successful guy. Carrie through a school system, Polo through a school system, Sammy, same thing. And we're all level-headed, normal people who are getting by and paying our bills. I don't know how our lives would have been more enhanced had somebody taught us what kind of sex we could have at 8 years old or 11 years old. I don't understand what did I miss out on by not having that in my life. You go to the phone lines, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Southern California, Dan, what's happening? Dan, hi.
Mr. Pags, pleasure to speak with you again.
Thanks, man.
I can answer a question you asked earlier. You asked why anal is even a part of this conversation. And I can tell you, I've been seen in literature for 2 years now in Southern California. They want to start teaching these kids that abstinence is no longer the way to not get pregnant, to avoid STDs, this, that, and the other. They are going to be teaching oral and anal are the ways to not get pregnant while having sex.
Dan, I'm gonna let you go. I appreciate you calling me. I don't feel comfortable constantly saying it and describing it. Any kind of sex, to be honest, just to talk about the actual actions at some point will get me to where I just don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm not a prude. I'm not somebody who isn't an adult and can't handle it. I mean, don't misunderstand me. But I heard you the first time. So your suggestion is that they're teaching these alternatives because they know the kids are going to be having sex and they're teaching them that instead. I don't think that's what it's about. I think the thought process to teach the A1, and again, we can say it. I just don't want it to become that kind of show where we're just feeling comfortable talking about sex acts. The A1, because they're trying to tell people it's perfectly normal, natural, and appropriate to be gay. I think that they're doing that. It's more about the gay agenda and less about the no more abstinence agenda. Our schools, and I'm glad you brought up the word abstinence, our schools clearly should only be teaching abstinence as a way to avoid any and all diseases. Because frankly, no matter what sort of protection you're using, that's the only way to make sure that you stay not pregnant and not diseased, is if you abstain. Will people abstain? Probably not. Will some? Yeah. Listen, I have no problem telling you, I was absolutely a virgin all the way through high school. I have no problem telling you that. Not at all. Because I knew I didn't want to send my career off track, my hopes, my dreams off track. It wasn't ready for a baby for sure. I didn't know what the hell I was doing anyway. I mean, to be honest with you, it wasn't like I was like this guy who was out there, you know, chasing everybody. It's just not who I was. I was focused on being a success in life. And then eventually you get to that point in your life to where that's something that you think about. It wasn't that important for me. The fact that they're trying to teach kids, not only can you, but you should. And here are some cool things you can do. I don't think it's about keeping them safe. I think it's about pushing an LGBTQ, XYZ, TT, QQ, PP agenda. That's what I think it is. I don't think it's anything more than that. If they really cared about the kids, they wouldn't have to go through this strange alternative. They would scare the hell out of them about diseases and pregnancy. And that would help them to at least consider abstinence. Brad, Minnesota, talk to me.
How are you doing, Joe?
Living the dream, man. Come on.
Yeah, sir. I was calling you. I kind of agree with the other guy just a little bit. Nothing against what you're saying. Abstinence is a great way to go, but I think they are pushing these kids in a different direction of, and he might have a little bit more insight than what you're thinking with Planned Parenthood and this and that and alternatives and what have you. But the whole thing about teaching this stuff in schools is absolutely disgusting. And I don't have any kids, but I know I've got two dogs, and one's a female and one's a male, and they do other things, and they have other chromosomes. And it's like it just sick in my stomach that these people want to come around. And by the way, Tim John Walls over here in Minnesota has got, he doesn't have many supporters. He does downtown, but what I'm telling you is that it's absolutely disgusting. I don't even want to discuss it. And that's the problem with it. We need to discuss it because these kids need to know what's right and wrong.
I got you. Hey, Brad, I appreciate you. Again, I'm not saying that he's wrong, that they're teaching that in school, and he's out in Southern California, and he's got good insight. I don't feel comfortable talking about actual sexual acts on my afternoon/evening show when I've got a broad range of audience. It's almost as if we're teaching them listening what they're learning in the classroom. And I don't want to go there. We could have done it, I think, a little bit. We could have used some euphemisms in there instead of just go out and out saying it over and over. And again, I'm not a prude. I understand. And I graphically know what those things are. But at the end of the day, we don't need to keep saying it. And I truly don't believe that it's an alternative to abstinence. I think it's a matter of telling people that it's okay. Being gay, being lesbian, being trans, being bi, all those things are perfectly fine. Changing your gender, perfectly fine. I think that's where they're going. And somebody, you mentioning Planned Parenthood, I disagree. Planned Parenthood wants as many pregnancies as possible so they can abort the children, because that's where they make a ton of money. I truly believe that as well. Megyn Kelly, when we come back, great interview about why she was trending yesterday, about Oprah Winfrey and Meghan Markle and Prince Harry and all that. Keep it here. Coming back.
Joe Pags.
Hey, great to have you along for the ride. Really glad to have this young lady back. And I say young lady because it's like you're 25, but I've known about you for about 15 years. I don't know how that works. Megan, how are you? Megyn Kelly.
I'm great. How are you, Jeff?
I'm living the dream. So I took Sunday off of social media. Megan, I'd had it. People are hateful. They're disgusting. It's a cesspool. I wasn't going to do it. I was out. No more social media for me. Popped on Monday morning, as my job, you know, requires. And Megyn Kelly's in big trouble. You were the top trend. And it turns out, well, first of all, we're allowed to do this interview. I checked with my diversity of the diversity department. And I'm olive, but still kind of white. And you're white. So we're allowed to talk to each other. It turns out in 2021... if you're a white journalist, you can't comment on a black person doing an interview of somebody who is mixed race. Do I have it right?
Yeah, that seems to be the basic feedback, that people were mad that I had a small critique of Oprah's questioning. It's like, so, like, there was this one guy, oh, God, I can't remember his name. He's on Pod Save America.
I know who that is, yeah.
And he tweeted out something like, Oprah literally made $1 billion interviewing. How dare she question her interviewing. It's like, so because she made $1 billion as an interviewer, she can never be wrong. Everything she does is perfection, and anybody who says anything about it is racist. Like, do I have am I getting it correct? It's such, you know what's such BS about it is this. Oprah would have been fine with my critiquing her.
I agree.
Oprah, grown up, she's a professional, and it wasn't a harsh critique. I just said I would have liked some more specifics, some follow-ups, like, who specifically told you that? Who was jealous after the Australia tour? What was the person's name who refused to get her help in human resources
right. When
said she was suicidal? Like, those kinds of questions help the audience believe the story and come to really understand the story better. She would have done us all a favor had she done that, but she didn't. So whatever, it's my criticism. It's the way I feel. You don't like it?
No, well, I'm with you 100%, but I checked some of the other comments, and these comments were from people with fake names and zero followers and just started a new bot account. But the reaction literally was that you were not allowed because you're white, and everything out of Megyn Kelly's mouth is suddenly racist. Anytime Megyn Kelly has a criticism or something to say, it's racist. That doesn't make any sense. I've known you a good long time. Now, before, I consider you a friend now, and that's more recent, but you and I was on your show 15 years ago talking about some situation in San Antonio, Texas. And I found you to be perfectly fine. And every bit of journalism, every bit of editorializing you've ever done, I've never once winced and went, oh, man, she went there on race. Even the blackface thing on NBC, what you said made sense. I'm going to be in trouble now. But the bottom line is they just want you to shut up. And the only way that the left, those who aren't very smart on the left, can shut us up today is to claim racism or misogyny or Islamophobia or something like that. Why doesn't it bother you more? They really want it to bother you.
It doesn't, because I know it's not true, and I know it's a tactic, and I know what they want is to shut me up, and I'm not going to. You can call me whatever names you want to call me. I've been called many, many bad things, and I'm still standing, and I've been very successful, and my audience appreciates my candor. They've slung everything at me, Joe, and I'm fine. So
yeah.
I think people feel validated when they hear what they actually think about the news said by someone who's on the news. So not everybody sat at home last night and thought Oprah nailed every aspect of the interview.
Right.
Not everybody looked at Megyn and Harry and said, oh, they're victims, poor victims in every way. A lot of people felt as I did. And we're allowed to disagree. We're allowed to have differing viewpoints. And a white person can critique a black person. A black person can critique a Latino person. And on down the line, I don't buy into identity politics. I just don't believe in any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So that gets me in the hot seat, and so be it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's Megyn Kelly. Go and listen to her podcast. Her show is amazing. Host of the Megyn Kelly Show. Go to MegynKelly.com. When I was watching some of the reaction, when I went on the air last night, you were the first topic that I talked about. And what I said was, and I stand by this, obviously, had Megyn Kelly said, you know, that black Oprah Winfrey with her questions, I would have had a problem with that. But, of course, that was nothing even close to what you said. And the true irony here that Twitter doesn't think you and I know is that Oprah Winfrey's audience was predominantly a white female audience that made her the $1 billion. So
yeah.
I'm not really sure, were those white females wrong to watch the black interviewer or the black host, or were they just watching Oprah Winfrey because she rocked that show and it was a great show?
Well, let me tell you something, Joe. If I had criticism for Candace Owens, these same people would be just fine with it, right?
You're so
if
right.
I want out there and rip on Larry Elder, they'd be cheering me on, right?
Yep.
Everything falls along political lines. And, you know, I just, like, look at the way Joy Reid talks about identity, about homophobia, her homophobia, like her homophobic comments she's made. She gets a total pass. Like, the rules have just changed now to where you can be as offensive as you want if you're on their side, and certainly if you fall within some sort of protected identity on their side, on the liberal side. Well, I think we're all sort of onto this game. And if people who are rational and reasonable and just want to have honest debate, even if you disagree with me, I'd love some honest debate. We just have to keep doing it. We can't be silenced and shamed out of conversation. Conversation is the only way forward as a people.
I could not agree more. And you're absolutely right. And by the way, you left out because you're nice. I'm not as nice. You left out the part where Joy Reid lied and said that she was hacked until she had to admit that she actually wrote those posts. Because Joy Reid is not a very nice person, it turns out. But we have to pretend like she is. And she's also the moral high ground, which is very, very stunning. You and I can't be the moral high ground because we're too pale of tone in 2021. That's truly what people want everybody else to believe, right?
You know, and I just think, like, there's this narrative where a white person isn't supposed to criticize a black person. You're not supposed to get in a Twitter dust up with a black person. How pejorative, how dismissive. That's racist. If I didn't criticize Oprah because she's black and I don't think that I should criticize a black woman, that's racist.
It is.
I respect Oprah enough to throw a barb her way when I think she deserves it and to praise her when I think she deserves it too. Go back and look at all the comments I've made about Oprah Winfrey in my history as a female journalist. 90% of them are completely laudatory. They would sicken you if you went back and how I licked her boots for many years because I fell in love with Oprah very, very early on in my career.
Right.
I don't happen to feel the same way now because I do think she's gotten very political. And I've sort of, you know, there's been a cold front that moved in since she did that. But I have respect for Oprah, respect enough to throw a punch her way when I think she deserves it.
And what's interesting, and it's Megyn Kelly, the host of the Megyn Kelly Show, go to MeghanKelly.com. What's interesting about the entire thing is I didn't watch the interview. I don't know why Americans care. Have you got an opinion on why the heck we should care about this extremely, you know, entitled couple? One, I didn't even know she was half black. Megan, I swear I had no clue that she was mixed race. I didn't care. I just don't care enough to know what Prince Harry is doing and why he's mad at his dad and all of that. None of it matters to me. Why do we still fawn as Americans over the monarchy, especially these two crybabies who clearly were sitting in a very rich place, wearing very high-end clothing, complaining about their horrible high-end life?
Yeah. Yeah, her dress was like almost $5,000.
Come on.
Whining about what a victim she is. No, I can't believe you didn't know like that who Meghan Markle was. And you've been living under a rock.
Yes.
Because they're ubiquitous in the press. Look, I think that liberals care because they love the monarchy. And I think conservatives have gotten into this because they are the ultimate embodiment of our victimization culture. You can become a Hollywood star in a country that we're told is, you know, systemically racist. They can still make you a star and cast you on a TV show. You can go become a princess, marry a prince, move into a castle, and be the mother of another royal. And you can still play the ultimate victimization card because you had to go on the tours, and they were exhausting, and they made you smile a lot. And so it was very hard for you. And the press was mean. And I understand, Joe, as we've been discussing, what it's like to get bad press. Trust me, it isn't pleasant. But it's part of being a grown-up. And if you're going to put yourself in the public eye, she's done times 100 what I've done and you've done, then you got to be willing to take the slings and arrows. It isn't pleasant, but it's part of the gig.
It really is. And you took those slings and arrows, and you give them right back. And again, as you said, you're still standing, and you won't let them beat you. It is Megyn Kelly. Go to MeghanKelly.com. Check out her incredible show. I didn't know the whole claim that she felt suicidal and that somebody rebuffed her at the palace. You know, because if you're suicidal, you want to go to the palace and have somebody help you there at the palace. And I guess Piers Morgan dared say, who'd you talk to? Like you said, who did you go to? Who turned you away? I don't think I believe her that she went and talked to anybody. Now he's out of a job. The cancel culture took over. But again, he's in England, so I guess it's even a bigger deal there. But what do you think about that? If somebody claims I was suicidal and I sought help and didn't get it, are we required to believe that and not question anything?
I don't know. That one's fraught. I don't know. That one makes me upset because I understand mental health is tough to talk about. And right. I always make a point, like on my show, of saying I'm in therapy and I talk about what my therapist has advised me. Yeah. It boils down to this, by the way. People are complicated.
You think?
So I admire her willingness to talk about it. You know, I don't think she should be discouraged from making admissions like that, or anybody should. But I also like free speech. And if he didn't buy it, I think he's entitled to not buy it. You know, he came back on the next day and said he didn't mean to say he wasn't buying that particular claim that she was making.
Right.
But there had been so many complaints about his initial statement. I don't know. Either the network had had it or peers had had enough of them trying to crack down on his speech.
Right.
I don't know. But that show in Great Britain, Good Morning Britain, is like the number one morning show. They're hugely popular, those two. They've been voted most popular morning show co-hosts. So I think it was shocking to see what happened with him.
It is Megyn Kelly, the Megyn Kelly Show. Go to MegynKelly.com and check out every single one of these shows. I want to switch gears in the minute or so we have left, and thank you so much for taking the time. And again, it's always about me, Megyn. You know that about me.
I like that.
So, yeah, thank you. So I go on Facebook, and I start getting messages from people saying, hey, when I try to like your Facebook page, I get this warning. And the warning says, this page has repeatedly posted false information. Do you still want to like the page? Now, all I've done is I've posted interviews that I've done. I've interviewed Rudy Giuliani. I've interviewed Jenna Ellis. I've interviewed Mike Lindell. I've interviewed you several times. And then I post the interviews that I do. When I do my interviews, although I am admittedly a conservative guy, I try to be as fair as I can. And I do the best job I can. And I appreciate that. You've always been very nice about my interviews. Because I interviewed Nick Searcy, who's the actor who's a conservative and unafraid to be conservative in Hollywood, they started putting that message up there. They literally, Facebook is telling me, as a journalist or a questioner or an interviewer, you have to do it our way or we're going to flag you as false information. Now, as a journalist, and I wonder what your take is. If you go to the prison and you interview the mass murderer, and the mass murderer says in the interview to you, I think murder is cool. I think everybody should be murdering everybody all the time. And then you post that person's answer as part of your interview, that, of course, is false information. Murder is not good. It's not. Everybody shouldn't do it. So if you post that, do you have to put a disclaimer? Hey, just to let you know, this isn't the truth he says about that. Are we that responsible as people asking questions? Long time to get there, and I apologize.
No,
but when we ask the questions, are we responsible for every answer we get? And if we are, how do we do our jobs?
We're responsible to probe, right? So if somebody says something outrageous or not supported by the facts, probe, ask follow-ups. What do you mean by that? Why would you say that? But this is what the evidence has shown. But there was a report out of the National Institutes of Health that says X, Y, and Z, and have your facts. Yep. That's our job, to be armed with the facts so we can challenge BS when it comes our way in a way that enlightens the viewers. That's at least how I see it. If you don't do a perfect job, doesn't mean your video should get a warning label on it. It doesn't mean Twitter or Facebook should be looking over your shoulder. It's the same way when you scroll Twitter and you want to retweet something because you love it, you see the headline, it's an article, and then they say, are you sure don't you want to read that before you retweet it? It's like, hey, whoa, get out of my business. What are you doing here? Right? Let me tell you something. I just interviewed John Stossel, from ABC,
so
Fox Business. He's amazing. And he's a friend. This is going to come on in like a week. And he told the most harrowing story about posting. He does like these four or five little videos on four or five minute videos on Stossel TV online. And he did a report about the environment where he had one person questioning, you know, what causes our environmental problems and the wildfires in California. Just one. And it got reported up the line to Facebook. The fight he had to fight to try to get it corrected, because what Stossel had reported was correct, was disgusting. He got somebody to admit that they were wrong to label it. And then when it went up the flagpole at the third party that Facebook had sent it to, they decided, oh, never mind our admission that you had it right. We still don't like it. Like, when you hear him lay out for you step by step of how he tried to challenge this misinformation label, it'll mean less to you than it ever has before. And that's why we need our own lanes. We need a truly independent lane where free speech is allowed, journalism as we used to know it is allowed, and the far left people who want to censor everything, they can have their own lane. They can have a great time over there, just self-talk, self-reinforcement, learning absolutely nothing.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, except here's the problem. When we think we have our own lane, let's just say Parler, whether you love it or hate it, Amazon took them down. Twitter went after them. Somebody's suing them. We got to take the whole damn thing down. They don't want competition. They don't want the other narrative out there. Not even the narrative. They don't want the truth out there because it competes with their narrative. So you're right. But how do we do that? I mean, does Trump do it? He's got the money. You and I probably don't have enough to do it. How do we do that?
Trump does not have the money and he's not going to do it.
Okay.
Well, our side, the side of reason, yes. We have billionaires too. We do. And I think right now one of the benefits of the past year is they're mobilizing. They're ticked off about what happened to Parler too. They're ticked off about the Facebook crackdown and Amazon and all of them. And the more I listen, the more I hear very rich people raising their hands to say, how can I help? What can I do? I'm in. Yeah. And they don't even have to be conservative, right? I consider myself right of center. I'm liberal on some things. I'm conservative on some things. I feel like I'm on the side of reason, but I'm in the same lane as you are, because I'm for free speech.
Yeah.
I'm for the free and full exchange of ideas and not demonizing people with, you know, by whole swaths based on skin color, based on their party identification, all of that stuff. And I think the past craziness, like the craziness of the past year is getting those guys to mobilize, to pony up the dough, and soon we will have our own Amazon or our own Google or another lane where we can live without having the weird Jack Dorsey everywhere. Like, I'm not sure I want to read it. I just thought it was a funny headline.
You're not allowed to call him weird. I think we're all in trouble now because you called him weird. Megan, I love when I see you trend on Twitter. That means that you said something logical, reasonable, and the left is freaking out about it. Thank you so much for your hard work. The Megyn Kelly Show, check that out. Go to MegynKelly.com. Thanks for being a good friend and a great journalist who actually understands that information and free information is still important.
Thanks, Joe Pags. Always a pleasure.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. We're back after this. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
All right, great to have you. I appreciate you stopping by the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. I appreciate Megyn Kelly coming on and being such a good friend and being available to come on when she's trending like that. I mean, everybody wants that interview, and I feel very, very privileged to have her on again. Those of you who are still holding a grudge from 2015 or something, come on, man. That's 6 years ago. Trump and she, they made amends. She went and interviewed him at Trump Tower. I don't understand why you're still holding a grudge. It doesn't make any sense. If the guy himself isn't, then maybe you shouldn't. That's all I'm going to put out there. And she doesn't have to be a conservative person for you to understand what she does and understand the work. Not even a little bit. All right, so keep that in mind. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stamps.com is a great sponsor and a great organization. It's a service that's going to save you a bunch of money and a bunch of time, too. When it comes to what's happening with our quality of life because of the pandemic, waiting in line at the post office doesn't make a lot of sense right now. Social distancing doesn't make a lot of sense right now. The masks, do you wear a mask? Don't you wear a mask? Where are you going? What are you doing? Why not get your postage done and save up to 40% on USPS rates and get your UPS done and save up to 62% on UPS shipping rates all in one place, wherever you happen to be with your computer and your printer? It's that easy. With Stamps.com, you're going to get that kind of discount. Not to mention, Stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of the other expensive postage meters. Stamps.com is kind of a no-brainer, saving you time and money, and nearly a million small businesses are taking advantage. So why don't you do it now? Go to Stamps.com, no risk, with my promo code PAGS, P-A-G-S. You get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale, no long-term commitments or contracts. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in PAGS, P-A-G-S, Stamps.com, promo code PAGS, Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. Appreciate you guys taking the time. I'll have Carrie give me her thoughts on that interview when we come back. Yes, Carrie, I did make it about me for a minute.
Oh, no, you did.
Didn't die. I had to. Keep it here. We're coming back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hi, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It is the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. District 5 Republican, the great state of Arizona. Andy Biggs at the bottom of the hour. Make sure we get to that. You're going to enjoy that conversation. Talk a lot about the border because that's messed up right now. It's very messed up. Because of what this administration is doing on a Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. That's right. You know what I'm saying, Kerry?
No.
I
got my tacos, my
radio. Hate the song. Taco.
A little salsa, I'm ready to
go. I said taco.
No enchilada, no cheesy nacho.
Uh-huh.
Taco Tuesday, the Joe Pags Show.
Taco. Let's go now. Bring it home.
Tommy and Polo, we'd like the hot sauce. Joe LaTorriso, cause he's the boss.
Yep.
Harry Lucky.
That's so stupid.
That's
just dumb. Joseph, why are they even available?
Be nice to the girl.
Oh, Harry Lucky. Harry Lucky, blah, blah.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Whatever, Kelly.
It's Taco Tuesday on the Joe Pag Show. It's Taco Tuesday on the Joe
right,
Pag
Sam?
Show. I'm eating tacos with Polo. Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday.
Taco. All right, Polo, bring it. What's going on?
Taco.
Exactly right. I think that's what he's saying. He's saying taco. I don't think he nailed it. Carol, I'm going to have a question today. Because when
good.
I questioned, then
yeah.
he's like, taco. I mean, that was good. It was
yeah.
on.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It was there. It was happening. Making it happen. Spot. Here's the problem. I haven't had any tacos in a long time. I'm going to take a little time off next week.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the question I have for you. Are you taking time off next week?
I am, yes.
Here's the question. Because, you know, I saw a picture of you and me from about 7-8 years ago. And we look a little different.
I know that picture. Yeah, it's not a good picture.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Picture you would not want me to post right now.
That is correct.
You are completely healthy, changed your lifestyle. I don't know exactly what you're doing. I think you do similar to what I do.
I do, yeah.
And it works, right?
It does. It works for me.
Let me ask you this. Pizza, pasta, tacos, do they count on spring break?
Yes, they do.
Ask me how long it's been since I've had a taco.
How long has it been since you've had
and
a
I
taco?
I live in the San Antonio area of Texas.
We have the
now,
best
this
tacos
does not count,
here.
Exactly. This is not counting like me eating the insides out of a breakfast taco, because that's happened plenty of times.
No, I do that all the time, yeah.
But you don't eat the fajita.
The fajita? I mean the tortilla.
The tortilla, exactly.
Yeah.
You don't eat the tortilla.
Right.
So, I haven't had like a hard shell corn, you know, shell tortilla or taco. I have not had that. It's got to be a decade. But I mean, an actual whole taco, like eating the taco,
it's been a long
probably
time.
Was Taco Bell, which Polo would say not really tacos.
Right.
So probably Taco Bell something and probably about 12 stuff. Or 15. Say it again? Oh, the hard shell stuff is?
No, I'm saying that that's
oh,
not.
The hard shell stuff is not a real taco either?
Not really.
Really? Wow, what a snob. What a valley snob you are. I had no idea you were so snobby.
Now, I have had low-carb tortillas. Those are not bad.
Yeah, have you really?
Yeah, those aren't bad.
And I was going to say the same thing. Or there's a couple other like options you can do. They have the ones that are made out of like egg, and you can use those as like the tortilla for whatever taco you're eating.
I feel like I've had the egg one, but it's not the same. You know it's not the same.
I have no problems eating those. They actually... I mean, it's especially if you're having like a breakfast taco. I mean, you already got the egg there.
I mean,
and they have the cheese ones too. They have the cheese ones that are just cheese.
You're right. I haven't done the egg one. I've done the cheese one, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
But again, it's still not a taco, really. I guess you can call it that, but it's not really that. Sam, how often are you doing the tacos?
As often as I can.
Because tonight's wings, right?
Like, I don't know why you got to call her out like that, but I mean.
I didn't call her out. I mean, Sam doesn't eat with me a lot. I don't have any idea. She might not eat tacos at all. I know her boyfriend can't stop with the chips. Don't start me with the chips. Don't get me going with the chips. Okay, because that's happening often. But for me, I've not had a taco like since Taco Bell probably maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, something like that. But when I eat them, it's 15 of those things from Taco Bell.
Yeah, it's hard to stop.
And then I pay for it later. I'm like, never again. Never
real,
again
though.
Am I doing that. No, Polo, I'm not denying that. But what would you call them then if you don't call them tacos?
That's like
things.
It's like
what?
Chips. Like you're eating chips.
That's chips. No, I'm not saying the hard shell stuff. Soft tacos from Taco Bell.
Oh, those are like wraps then.
Okay, they're meat wraps. They're cereal wraps. Whatever they are.
They're wraps.
At the end of the day, let's say I have tacos
week,
a few times a week.
You gotta have a couple of cheat meals. You gotta have a couple.
Well, this
of
is that. Listen. There is a place where I go. It's a Greek restaurant that I'll be eating at just about every day. It's going to be a big giant gyro salad. If you follow, you're on my Facebook. You've seen me post pictures of me eating gigantic gyro salads with, I don't eat the pita. I just have the tzatziki sauce and the gyro meat and I go nuts.
Good stuff.
That's going to be amazing. That's going to happen
good.
A lot next week.
I had that last week.
But where I'm going, did you really?
Yeah.
Just the salad though?
No.
How good is it, though? I mean, Euros are awesome.
I mean, dude. They're very good. I mean,
Exactly right.
And that's because I went with the Euro meat, but then I also went with the lamb.
Well, Euro meat is lamb. Euro meat is lamb and beef mixed.
Yeah. So, but then I also had a beef one. So, but they're like, they were the small ones because you could go like, you know, different sizes or whatever. But
I got you.
Good stuff.
This is what I do. I'll sit down at this place and I'll say, I need a Euro salad and I need extra meat. And I said, in fact, not extra meat. I want the double, just bring double meat. Bring me some extra meat on the side.
Hmm. It's a lot of meat.
And then I eat it, and it's 17 pounds of meat, and I lose 4 pounds. So I'm just telling you,
is that around here? It's,
no.
Okay.
We're gonna go a little bit farther away from just here, but no, I can't find a good one. I'll be honest with you. I can't find a good one around
here. That's what I'm telling you, because I can tell you about one that's good. That's around here.
Okay, you need to, because I haven't found one yet. I've been here 16 years. So we're going to do that, but where I'm going also, Carrie, they have amazing New York-style bagels.
Well,
let me ask you this. How do you low carb and have the bagels?
You can't, but you got to have a bagel. I mean, New York bagels. Yeah.
And the thing is, we're talking about, I don't want to hear about an everything bagel. I don't want to hear about an onion bagel. You're going to get a real bagel made like a New York bagel, like a real, like authentic. It's got this one bagel, a salt bagel. That's it. You get a bagel, a bunch of salt on it. That's it.
Oh, okay.
No, I'll put some cream cheese. I don't care, but it's got to be a salt bagel.
Mm.
I don't want to hear it. Dude, I mean, now listen, the everything bagel smells great. It tastes like crap. Don't be telling me about everything bagels. You know what I'm saying, Karen?
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Now you got to have, if it's New York style, you got to have that.
When's the last time you had a bagel?
Oh, it's been years since I've had a bagel.
If you walked by a bagel place that was making authentic New York bagels and your feet lifted off the ground on the scent, wouldn't you have to go in there and get some?
I would have to have a bite, yes.
Oh, see, I'm not some little woman. I can't do that. I can't have a bite. What the hell's having a bite?
You want six or seven?
You can't have a bite. You got to have like seven bagels.
Oh, a couple of bites.
Paul, have you ever sat down to a meal where it smells so good and you just had a bite and walked away? Who does that?
Yeah, I don't think I could do that. I mean,
no.
I think because
it's undoable.
If I got up and walked away, it was because something smelled bad from the beginning. So then I wouldn't even take a bite.
Or you were full. If you got up and walked away, you were full and you couldn't shove another piece in. Sam, can you just take a bite and walk away? Keep in mind, I watched you and your boyfriend eat a pie last night. So let's.
Yeah. Well, we did walk away from the pie.
I'm not so sure. When the camera shut off, I'm not sure what happened. I'm just going to put it out there.
I ate a taco. But,
you had a couple of tacos? All right. So at the end of the day, I just need to know. I need to know, Carrie, if carbs count when you're on spring break.
Well, I still say yes, but you got to have a couple of cheats. You got to indulge a little bit. It's your vacation.
Now, what I'm not going to do, and she's listening. Paulo, yes?
I was going to say, I don't think they count if you're in a different area code.
Is that all that it takes? Yes. Go to a different area code and it's no problem?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. I did not realize that. It's the area code diet. If that were true, I'd be traveling to different area codes every day just eating like a crazy man. But it doesn't work that way. Now, listen, I think she's listening. I'm going to sit back, a little Uncle Paxi story. The last time I I'll be seeing my mother, and I'm not necessarily saying where that'll be, but I'll be seeing her. Last time I saw my mother, and she made us a nice pasta meal.
Mm.
Remember? Do you remember the talk we had when I came back?
I don't.
Normally, she will just make the pasta and some meat chunks, maybe even meatballs, but some steak chunks and stuff. I promise you, I pulled out a chicken wing out of this pasta sauce.
Oh, I do remember that.
Remember the chicken wing and the pasta sauce?
I remember that story.
So let me just say this. Mom, take a break. Take a breath. Not going to need the chicken wing and the pasta sauce this time.
Just want to put everything in there.
And when I said, Mom, what's good? What? This is a chicken wing. And her answer was, well, it was in the refrigerator. I had to cook it. We had to use it. But no. No.
That'd be a mom thing
to do. There are no chicken wings in the pasta sauce.
She can't waste food. Throw it in there.
It's like she picked the refrigerator up and just waved everything right into the pot. I'm like, no, what are you doing?
Chicken wing.
This is not what we do. I'm going to get a text now. Now mom's going to text me. Oh, fine. You like my pasta sauce?
Good Italian.
Love your pasta sauce. No chicken wings in my pasta sauce. Thank you.
Mm, I bet she makes some good sauce.
So I noticed that. Now, Paulo gave me an out about the different area codes, but I didn't hear it from you. Are you going to let me have a cheat meal or two or not?
Yes, I think you have to. Absolutely.
When's the last time you had a cheat meal? Other than the wine. The wine doesn't count.
It was a couple of weeks ago. I made some lobster mac and cheese. I had mac and cheese.
Oh, damn. Damn.
Oh, it was so good. But that was it. I had a little bite of that.
All right. I'm just saying, I need to have a ruling. I want to hear emails, and I want to see some posts on social media. Don't be calling me with what I can go off next week or not. I definitely want to hear from you on that. Because for me, it's going to be hard to be somewhere where I know there's really good food.
You have to eat.
And not go nuts with some really good food.
But I will say, I mean, you're going to go and be somewhere, and you're going to be more active anyway, right?
No.
You are.
Are you crazy? I'm taking time off.
Yes, but you're not going to. You're not.
Why would I be more active?
Because you're. But I'm saying you're not going to be a little hermit and stuck in your hole at home. You're going
to. I go to the gym almost every day now, Polo.
That's not the same.
Okay, I'm going to be more active eating. Yes, I agree.
I'm just saying there's a good chance that you'll be out and about and walking around and stuff like that.
I will be, yes. We're going to go and walk around in front of restaurants and go eat inside of them.
Right.
I'm going to try not to be too active, to be honest, although my child Gabby is like a crazy person in the gym, so I might not be able to not work out even where we go, which is...
Now, will you take a break from social media next week?
That's a good question.
Why do you have to ask the hard question?
Because I know it's a hard one.
I mean, something's got to
give. I think for the most part I will. But if Twitch is social media, I do plan on doing some streams because the people have been so supportive that to not do a stream for a week, I think would be a problem.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, but not every day, right?
But a problem for you?
I'm going to go 8 or 9 hours a day. No. 8 or 9 hours a day.
That's not a vacation. No.
No, we can do it from my phone. Wherever we're walking around, we're doing whatever. We can do it from the phone, no?
Okay, I guess a couple of times.
Are you going to get a selfie stick so you can do that?
What do you mean get one?
Oh, God, you already have one.
Like, I don't already have one? Come on. I do not have a selfie stick. I don't have a selfie stick, and I won't be getting one, no. But that we'll figure it out. I'm for the most part, going to try to stay away from the nasty ones, you know, the Facebooks and Twitters and all that. But I will post pictures, and I'm sure I'll go live a time or two. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. When we come back, we've got a quick hit about Gretchen Whitmer, who might be... She might face prosecution, huh? Carrie, the governor of Michigan?
Yes, I guess that's a possibility.
And by the way, I want to hear from you guys over the social media. I want to hear from you on the email. I don't want you calling me to tell me whether or not I can eat or not. Sam, do you think people want to call and tell me whether or not I can eat or not next week?
No.
Okay. Sam does not want you to call in, is what she's saying. So, let's leave that alone. I think that'd be kind of boring, and everybody's going to say eat something. We'll see. I'm sure I'm going to go. I can't not have a bagel while I'm there. You know what I mean?
You got to have bagel.
Yeah, that'd be stupid,
wouldn't
it?
You got to have a little pasta. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Can I have one bagel?
Yes, you can. You can stop at one.
I know that I'm able, but do you think I will?
No.
Because it's normally at least four.
Wow, that's a lot. Maybe stop at two.
888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. A quick hit on Gretchen Whitmer, who might be in some legal trouble because of how she reacted to COVID and nursing homes. Got that for you. If you're in Michigan, don't touch that dial. Bottom of the hour, if you're in Arizona or anywhere else, Andy Biggs is a great representative. He's District 5 Republican, the great state of Arizona. We'll have him on at the bottom of the hour about the border, about HR1, about HR127, and a lot more. Stay on the Joe Pags Show.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
I appreciate you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It is the Joe Pags Show. A lot of people asking about the Lunk Alarm. I did not have another Lunk Alarm happen yet. Although, the people from Man at Mittness, Carrie, never did respond to my last foray with them. They just ignored me.
Yeah, they were probably, we're done with this dude. We're done with this
well, I think
Lunk.
I think they looked me up. They probably looked me up and said, oh, well, we shouldn't be talking to him. He's a horrible conservative white guy.
Oh, exactly. I'm sure that's what happened. Yeah.
Let me go through and see what the last Man at Mittness back and forth was. I do believe that's the proper terminology, right? Man at Mittness?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Oh, no, they did respond. I'm stupid.
Oh, they did?
Okay, so, yeah, Zeke responded to my concerns about how judgy they are at Man at Mitness and about this lunk thing and all that stuff. Hi, Joe. Thanks for reaching out. Our lunk alarm is designed to prevent intimidating behavior, but never to judge our members. The judgment-free zone is meant to protect our members from behaviors they feel threatened by at other gyms. It's here for all the right reasons. Thanks, Zeke. First of all, his name's not Zeke. Mm-hmm. It's just like a gym name, Zeke. There was no intimidation, I said.
Being judgy. Go ahead. They are judgy.
Of course they're being judgy. There was no intimidation going on. You need to realize that by judging people as lunks, you're actually giving the other members carte blanche to judge. The alarm went off, and I said, what the heck is that? The woman not far from me said, it was you. I said, nope, maybe it was you. Is that the kind of environment Man at Mitness wants? Why not be welcoming to everybody, including those who grunt a little bit? So odd for a fitness facility. They finally did respond at 7:25 this morning, 1 week later.
There you go. Oh, that's nice.
Welcome to the judgment-free zone. How can I help? That was their response.
Okay, well.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Ask me if I'm going to waste my time and writing anything back to them.
Are you going to waste your time in writing anything back to them?
The answer is no.
Yeah.
I ain't doing it.
Good idea.
I'm sorry, Sam. You had Euros today?
I did.
I don't live that damn far away. Why didn't I get some Euros? What is that? were they any good?
Too. Yeah, they were good.
In the San Antonio area, they have Euros that are good?
Well, we went to the place that was probably second best, but it was still just really good.
Have you and Polo spoken? Is it the same place?
We have spoken. It's not the same place.
Okay, so Polo went to the best place. You went to the second best place.
Yep, we got them all covered.
And how much did your dad get? I forgot. The Euros today.
Well, the invite is always an open invite.
Okay, yeah, we'll see how those bits go tonight in your little show. Wow. See how that goes. Wow, I'm just putting it out there. All right, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We were talking about the fact that I'm going on a little bit of a hiatus next week. It is spring break. And generally speaking, Kara, I don't do a whole lot of spring break. You know me, I just keep working.
I know. I usually take it off because my kids are always off, so.
Right. Are your kids off next week?
They are, but we've got powerlifting, track, and baseball.
That's
so,
right. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how much of a staycation.
The smaller one does the baseball, right?
He does track and baseball, and Jake is finishing up powerlifting, and he'll be going into track.
And mom gets to go.
I get to go. Yes. So actually, today is my Wednesday. Yes. I will be off on Friday because this will be the first time I will see my son. Lift.
I just hate that. Today's my Wednesday. No, it's not.
It is
your Tuesday, and you're taking Friday off.
It's my Wednesday. And yeah.
It's not your Wednesday.
It is my Wednesday.
I refuse to let it be your Wednesday.
Tomorrow's my Thursday. Yes.
It's going to be your last day if you keep it up.
Ooh. I'm scared. Okay.
888. I know you're shaking. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. We come back. It'll be Andy Biggs. He is the District 5 Republican in the great state of Arizona. He's got a major problem with the COVID relief bill. So do I. He's got a major problem with HR 1. So do I. Major problem with HR 127. So do I. And he's got a major problem with the changes that have happened at the border since Joe Biden or whoever's running the joint took over. We talk about all that and then some. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you along for the ride. Really glad to have you here. Also glad to have back District 5 Republican, the great state of Arizona. It's Andy Biggs. Andy, how are you?
Great, Joe. How are you?
I'm living the dream. You know, we talked about this just briefly before we started today. Personally, you're feeling pretty good. I feel health-wise and working out, feeling pretty good. The country's going to pot. That could be an issue. So let's talk about the latter because personally, I think as humans, we're doing okay. But we're severely concerned about what's happening not only in Arizona, in Texas where I am, and around the country who are watching and listening, but directly in Washington. There is something going on in Washington that scares me half to death. So if I said, hey, nice to meet you, what's your biggest concern about our country going forward? Is there one thing that you would first point to?
Well, I would lump everything into one bucket, and I'd say we've taken a hard left turn And we're approaching a fascist state right now, Joe. And that is gives me pause. And there's all kinds of things that indicate that. But that's what I'd say. That's where I'd go.
And I agree with you. And you and I can talk about why the left is so fascist or attempting to be so fascist. At the same time, Andy, they are indoctrinating and gaslighting people to believe that you and I on the right are the ones who are fascist. Why are they successful at that when it's just patently untrue?
Well, they're successful because they're, first of all, they create a great narrative. They always create a great narrative and talk about how humane they are, how tolerant they are. And then they always project. So whatever they say about you is what they are.
Right.
And then the third thing is they have some institutions that buttress that. So the media helps them. Big corporate donors and big tech supports them. And then the institutions of education, whether it's all the way from K all the way up to post-secondary, all of those support that. And unfortunately, I have to say this, but there are certain religious institutions that support that as well.
Wow.
So we're facing a massive onslaught of narrative construction and perpetuation.
Well, if you think about it, the regular American who's a busy person picking up kids from soccer practice or making dinner or out there trying to earn a wage to support their family, they're just hearing what the big media says, social media, big sports, big Hollywood, big academia. They're just hearing what all of these entities say, big music too. And if they're all saying it, Andy, it's got to be true, right? I mean, they wouldn't all be wrong, would they?
Well, that's right. You're inundated. It's kind of a form of mass hysteria in a way. And I was just thinking about as you were doing that, think about the numbers of individuals that don't listen to political talk radio one side or the other.
Right.
But they're just listening to the radio. They're listening to some music. And then the news comes on. If they stay on that channel, listen to the news, invariably it's going to be left-leaning. And if you want to close a border, you want a border security, they're going to say some racist or some xenophobic
right.
members of Congress trying to close the border. So they're always using the emotion as opposed to logic to try to snare people.
You're 1,000% correct. It's District 5 Republican, the great state of Arizona. As I watched Circleback Psaki in her press conferences, these very, very strange to me, Andy, the way that she does these. But there was a question asked of her about what's happening on the border. And her answer wasn't, here's why that's happening on the border, because we signed executive orders that are ridiculous, because we're changing policies that are stupid, because, right, we want an open border society and just one big North America where there are no borders at all. What she said in response to just a generic question about the border was, because we have to fix the immoral and illegal policies of the previous administration. Now, you're in Arizona, I'm in Texas, California and New Mexico are directly affected as well. The entire country is indirectly affected by illegal immigration and illegal aliens coming into the workforce, going to our schools, being in our communities, but they didn't do it the right way. They broke the law to get here. Can you tell me what she might be talking about when she says there was something immoral about building a wall and actually saying we have a country?
Well, it gets back to what I said earlier. They project. They know that it's inhumane what they're doing. So people who are coming from the Northern Triangle states or through Mexico, they are in the hands of cartels. People are putting their 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old kids in the hands with drug and human smugglers, people who engage in sex trafficking. That's inhumane. And they're doing that because of the message full of incentives that the Democrats and the left put out there. They think that we're inhumane because we only want to allow 1.5 to 2 million legal immigrants every year, and we want the rest to stay in their country. They think that we're immoral because we say, if you claim asylum, you actually have to have a case that meets international law and standards and U.S. law and standards to get asylum, of which something like 93% do not meet.
Right.
So it's immoral because it gets back to one of the things you said. They want open borders.
Yeah.
And so if you want a closed border, they also don't like states. This goes back a long time. They don't believe in the unit of a sovereign nation or a sovereign state anymore. They believe in this New World Order or the open border state. They believe states are evil, that they encourage things like capitalism, which they think is immoral. So they view every project of the American lifestyle as being immoral. And that's a result of critical race theory and other neo-Marxist theories.
I agree with you.
We've been indoctrinated.
It is District 5 Republican in the great state of Arizona. It's Andy Biggs. You hit on something that the left doesn't want to talk about. The fact is, little girls right through grown adult women are being raped constantly when they come here from wherever they're coming from. When we close the border and when we work with Mexico and Guatemala to say, you better stop it because we're going to stop aid, or we're going to do this, that, or the other. The trade's going to, something was going to suffer if you didn't join forces with us. So Mexico and Guatemala join forces with us. And that means less sex trafficking. That means less raping of little girls and women. That means people are actually safer. And now we take the magnets away and people will still want to come here. And like you said, we're accepting between 1 and 2 million a year legally, but they'll do it the legal way. And they won't pay some no good criminal piece of garbage, you know, a bunch of their life savings to try to go to America. In fact, you know this. There are stories at the border where little girls are found to have birth control pills in their pocket. Why? Because they're being raped nonstop. And the moral left doesn't seem to care. Andy, what is this about? Is it because they want votes? They want the illegal aliens to become citizens so they can keep control? Is that really what it's about? So what? Rape all the kids you want? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about it from three things that I think are important. Number one, they don't like the notion of a state, sovereign state, which I've already mentioned. Number two, they do want to keep control of the United States of America, and they think that they bring in these voters. So that's why you team up this illegal immigration that they're going to normalize and actually give citizenship to over a period of time, which is going to help them use H.R. 1 to remain in power in perpetuity and reduce us to a single power state. And ultimately, it's all about getting control, emasculating capitalism and free markets, and be turning into a single party authoritarian state. And that's, I mean, you see this, all of the indications are there. This looks a lot like early to mid 30s Germany. And it's all there, the nascent and developing nature of fascism. Everything from censorship. You don't burn books today, but you cancel books. You don't chase people to gulags or concentration camps, but you cancel them. You destroy their livelihoods. You destroy who they are.
Right.
You ostracize them from society, and that's where they are. They want that power and control, and it gets back to this notion of any means is justified to get the ends that they want. That's where you are.
What you just described is what actress Gina Carano said. She said this is like the neighbors tracking down the Jews before World War II. It wasn't the Nazis doing it. It was the false information that got the neighbors to hate their neighbors. And this is sort of what we're seeing now with the cancellations that are happening. And you're right. The modern day book burning is Amazon is pulling the book off the shelves. Why? Why can't I buy that book on the internet if I want to? Because we say that it doesn't fit the narrative that we want you to believe. That's a place that I never thought we'd be. It's Andy Biggs, District 5 Republican, the great state of Arizona. Andy, do I really have to tell Sheila Jackson Lee how much ammunition I have? And do I really have to tell her how many guns I have? Does the Second Amendment really allow her, through this H.R. 127, to tell me what I am and am not able to have? I thought shall not be infringed meant something.
No, you're right. That is a horrible bill. And it gets back to what our theme of our discussion has been. Every tyrant wants to disarm the populace. They do. And Biden's no exception. Sheila Jackson Lee's no exception. Pelosi's no exception. My senator, Mark Kelly in Arizona, who leads the biggest gun grabbing group in the country,
right. He's
no exception. All of this is consistent with what they want to do, and that's to seize power. And so this is an attempt to diminish your, as Antonin Scalia said in his one of his opinions in the Heller case, is he said, look, this is a pre-existing right that government is supposed to protect, not to infringe upon. But no, if it really is a pre-existing right, which you and I both believe it is, they don't have the authority to do that. When I say they, I'm talking about the leftists who seek to have this kind of authoritarian control.
Right.
They don't have the authority to do it. They want to force it upon us. And that's where we are in this country today.
And hopefully with the makeup of the Supreme Court, it won't get very far. But, man, they keep on trying it. They keep on throwing up these trial balloons. And H.R. 1 is something that you alluded to. H.R. 1 is completely unconstitutional. You know that. I know that because state legislatures are supposed to set the election rules. Why does the federal government, the House of Representatives specifically, and now the Senate, why do they think they have the right to change election laws in Texas or Arizona? I don't get it.
Well, they think they have the right because they want that right. They want that power. They want to control who votes and they want to expand who votes. Look, they want to look, they want to do mandatory mail-in ballotings and they want to get everybody registered to vote who's on a federal prison database or a federal Social Security Medicaid database. You talk about violations of privacy rights. They want these databases to be used so they can send these people a mail-in ballot.
Come on, man.
Who otherwise aren't eligible to vote or wouldn't be eligible to vote. Then they're going to allow ballot harvesting of those mail-in ballots by a paid political operative who doesn't have to show any type of voter identification or an identification with all the ballots that they have. Again, it gets back to the theme. They want power. They want control.
What I'm going to say is true, and Facebook and Twitter and the left won't like it, but we still to this day don't know exactly who voted on November 3rd. We don't know because when you've got willy-nilly millions of ballots that are unsolicited sent out anywhere, anybody who received them could have filled them all out and sent them in, and there's no verification system in place. I've got to show ID to get Sudafed at the drugstore. I've got to show ID to go to the Democratic National Convention. I don't have to show ID to stand up for my civic duty, which is voting. And the fear is that we're disenfranchising many people. And a lot of dead people might be voting. And a lot of people might just be voting 7 or 8 times. And we have no idea. Andy, that's what I just said is the truth. Do you know exactly who did and didn't vote? I don't.
No, we don't know that. We don't know that at all. And you get places like in Arizona where they're trying to get some kind of independent forensic audit.
Right.
And we've run into every kind of speed stick possible for that state legislature, which is trying to get do the right thing and find out who voted, who didn't vote, and how much we can trust that election. They will not let that happen. They don't want to let that happen.
Right.
When I say again, I'm talking about the Democrats and the left. They want to basically nationalize what is meant to be local control over elections. And the reason that you have local control over elections goes back to the founding of this country. They were afraid of foreign participation in national elections if you had it centralized. That's why they thought there'd be more election integrity if the states ran those elections. And if the federal government would get out of there, my guess is you would see a better elections and fair elections. But right now, neither side really trusts the integrity of elections. You know, when I mean, think about it. When Trump won, the Democrats said, "Oh, we don't trust that. That was stolen."
Right.
And when Biden ran, the Republicans were saying that was stolen. Each side whipsaws back and forth because neither side has a way to trust the election apparatus in the United States of America.
And that's
today.
What we need. We just want to verify it. We're not asking for an awful lot. Let's make sure that everybody's vote counts and everybody who voted is allowed to vote and every vote was really cast by somebody who's eligible. That's not asking much. Andy, let's do it again very soon. We covered a ton of topics here, man. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe. Always good to be with you.
All right, we're coming right back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Just a great conversation with Andy Biggs. We appreciate him coming on. I think he's doing a great job for Arizona. And hopefully you got something out of that. People have been commenting that they thought it was a good interview. Good, I appreciate that. That's what I want. I'll bring you good interviews, good information, and make sure that we get it done that way. Hey, Carrie, we got time for the Gretchen Whitmer thing. I'm going to do a sponsor here. Maybe okay. We knock out Gretchen Whitmer, and I want people in Michigan to know that we're on it. We're keeping an eye on what's happening there. First, though, let me tell you about Stamps.com. Stamps.com, great. It's wonderful. Saves you from having to deal with, waiting in line at the post office. social distancing? Do you wear a mask? Do you wear two masks? Got a double mask? Got a triple mask? Who knows? Why not do your all your postage, all your UPS right from your home or your office? Stamps.com brings the services of both of these places right to your computer. It's a must-have for any business, whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller shipping out orders, or even a giant warehouse sending thousands of packages a day. Stamps.com can handle it all with ease 24/7. Any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it, you get it done with Stamps.com. Plus, you save up to 40% on USPS, up to 62% off of UPS shipping rates. Not to mention, Stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Get with them right now. Go to Stamps.com, put in keyword PAGS, get a special offer, including a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in PAGS. That's Stamps.com, promo code PAGS, P-A-G-S, Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. I got about a minute, Carrie. Can you do it in about a minute?
Yeah, I can do it. From The Blaze, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is facing increased scrutiny over policy that may have contributed to increased nursing home deaths related to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, a Michigan prosecutor says Whitmer could face criminal charges. Whitmer issued an executive order last year that prohibited nursing homes and other long-term care facilities from turning away residents who tested positive for COVID-19, regardless of whether they were contagious, WJRT-TV reported. And the problem, of course, is that such facilities typically house society's most medically vulnerable people. And the exact number of long-term facility care residents who died of COVID-19 in Michigan is not known, and state Republican lawmakers say Whitmer's administration is not disclosing critical data. As of the end of February, state data indicated more than 5,500 Michiganders had perished from COVID-19 in long-term facilities. WDIV-TV reported, or about one-third of all COVID-19 deaths in Michigan.
I got you. We will follow up on that for sure. Pop culture. Boop. Dirty pop. Hi, Polo, make it happen.
All right, so the whole story with Pierce Morgan, I mean, TMZ is making it sound like he, in fact, is saying that he's the one that quit. I guess he's saying that his former, his late manager would approve, I guess, of him quitting like that. Interesting thing, though, is that the UK's media regulator, Ofcom, they're, I guess, checking things out to see, I guess, because they received over 41,000 complaints on Monday's program.
Right.
So I guess they're trying to see if there was, a rule was broken there. So
there was no rule broken, but I got to tell you, I want to know whether he was fired or if he did it himself.